Welcome to the FCBC NYC podcast. We're so thankful that you decided to join us in this moment and in this season in your life. Our prayer is that this podcast will be a catalyst for conversion and transformation, and that you will be inspired and renewed in such a tremendous way that your desire will be to be your best for God. Again, thank you for listening, and we're excited to see what is next in your life.
We are an ever-evolving community of visionaries. Yes, called to live, commanded to love, and commissioned to serve. And if you cannot remember that, we have three powerful words. What are they? Let me tell you, I am so excited about this new year. In my time away in my sabbatical, you know, it was a different one. I'll share this, and I won't keep you standing very long, much longer, but it was different. But it was one where I got probably more clarity than any other sabbatical I've taken in terms of the future of FCBC and how we move forward. I'm excited, but here's what I know. It's going to take participation and involvement. Things are shifting. Culture is changing. And many of our churches are dying and fading, which means we have to be intentional about how we remain relevant in this moment and reach our community and serve our communities. I wasn't out here during the first half of service. I was on a radio show, and they were talking about, you know, what happened to the black churches and where are our churches. And, you know, and it's rough when you hear people being critical, but they have to also know it's a different age. It's a different moment, too. Many of our churches are fighting for institutional survival. You in Harlem, you see churches are closing, being bought by developers, and it's happening all around the country in many of our urban centers. And churches are trying to figure out, listen, we're blessed here at FCBC because of what God is doing. But remember, the average church in this country is about 150 members with a pastor who is bivocational, which means the pastor has more than one job. And those churches are having a hard time just keeping the doors open. And people forget sometimes how difficult it is to sustain our churches, our institutions. I know we love the Lord and we love to sing and praise, but I can't go to Con Ed with a praise dance. And so that means that we gotta understand. And more than that, when you have an institution like FCBC that is doing so much in the community, you have to support it. We have, and I'm gonna tell you, we have a person who for the past 2 years has given the Hope Center $50,000 a year. And I'm going to tell you, some of the programming we've done wouldn't be able to get done if it wasn't for that. We have one of our members who actually happens to be our state senator who came to me and said that, listen, Breakfast Before Books is a powerful program. I want to make sure that we should never worry about funding. And he didn't go and get any government money. He just called friends and said, this is what my church is doing. And we got people to give to the point where Breakfast Before Books is covered financially this year and next year, right? Right? But why? Because it takes initiative and people who see the good work, who pour into it, and are willing to be part of it. But this 2020 is going to be amazing, so get ready. I say years ago at TNT, put on your seatbelt. But yeah, get your Advil, put on your seatbelt, because we're about to go someplace in 2020. It's going to be amazing. Amen? Okay, I know some of y'all standing too long, but let's go to somebody. Yes. Y'all are something else. Luke 2. I told you last week, I broke all the rules. I think I was excited because it was my first Sunday back. I told you how they said the average time for a sermon in an African-American church was 54 minutes. I didn't do that 8 o'clock, but 10:45, I came close. I was a little heavy. So I'm going to try to stay true. Catholic Church average sermons are 14 minutes. I'm Baptist. I can't promise you 14 minutes. I don't even get cranked up in 14 minutes. We're going to try today. Luke 2. I can't let go. I know last week was quote unquote Christmas Sunday, but I don't want to leave the manger yet. I want to stay there for a little bit. So Luke 2. Verses 12 through 19. I want to read, and I'm going to just share some things for 18 and a half minutes. Luke 2, 12 through 19. Here's what it said, and this is the angel of God speaking to the shepherds. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Amen. Come on, let's pray. God, we thank you and we honor you today for how you've been moving and how you've been activating our lives, oh God. Just today, oh God, you've done more than we ever expected. And we thank you for that. Now, oh God, allow your word to do its own work today. And we'll be sure to give you all the honor and the glory because God, you, God, you are worthy. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. And we bless your name because you have kept us. And we celebrate that today. Come now, Holy Spirit. Come now, heavenly dove. With all thy quickening, kindle a flame of sacred love. Flowers. It's in your name we pray. Amen. What's going on? I don't know. Skip and jump. New stuff ain't always the best stuff. I'm going to tell you right now. Sometimes you get new stuff, it don't work right. You got to pray with new stuff. So I'm praying while I'm talking with this new thing here. All right. I want to lift up verse 19 of Luke 2. And here's what it says. But Mary, now I can't use that. My hands got to be free here. I got to. Y'all know that's how I preach. My hands. If I can't move my hands, ain't nothing coming out. Luke 2:19, here's what it says. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. This scene is so profound because it is a sign of God's new move for the people of Israel. Something new is on the horizon, a new move that would signify the reimagining of what it means to be in a relationship with God. And as we know, the new move of God begins in a manger, a barn, in the backyard of the house because there was no more room in the house. But before the scene of Mary giving birth to the baby, as Luke records it, something profound happens. That there are some shepherds some distance away. And shepherds are given insight that God is up to something in Bethlehem. And God goes to shepherds, these men who don't hold great significance, don't have political clout or power, are not among those who are noticed, but these are actually those who are among the undercounted and overlooked. And these are the ones that the angels and the angelic hosts come and announce that God is up to something in Bethlehem in a barn. Man, I love that because this notion that God's announcement of something new comes in a space and a place and with people who are often overlooked. I'm going to say that again because I could stop right there and you could find ways to nuance that yourself, that God's new move is being announced to people who are viewed as insignificant and overlooked. There's no trumpet blast in Jerusalem. There's no festivities in Rome. God is moving under the current and out of sight and unnoticed. And the announcement is made to some smelly, dirty shepherds who are tending their sheep out on the mountainside that God is about to bust a new move. Oh my God, I like that. And that is starting with this baby in a manger. The angels tell these shepherds that when you go down to Bethlehem, you go to that little barn, that manger, you'll find there a child wrapped in some cloth. This child is the signifier, the sign that God is about to do something new that is going to blow the minds of everyone, that this child is going to reimagine the possibilities that abound when you dare enter a reimagined relationship with God. This child will be the one who will set out human possibility, this child. And you would think that the announcement will be made differently, especially if you're used to the way announcements are made now with grandiosity and opulence, because everybody in this moment wants to be seen and noticed. We tell folk an announcement. We eating a hamburger right now. We taking Instagram stories on going to a restaurant. I mean, and look how God speaks when God moves. God is the antithesis in this scene of what it means to be consumed with this kind of narcissistic compulsion for everybody to be in your business. God is moving under the current and speaking to people who don't have any clout about a family in a barn. When those shepherds get that word, it said that those shepherds, they go to Bethlehem immediately because they can't stay still after hearing what they heard. They can't remain where they were after being let in on God's new move. They can't sit still. They can't continue to do business as usual after what they just heard. I'm going to say until it hits somebody. After hearing what God is up to, they can't sit still and do what they've always been doing. After hearing the new next move of God, they cannot just do business as usual. You can't be let in on a God-sized announcement and then stay doing what you've always been doing. You stay the person you've always been. The fact that God chose you for this God-sized announcement when there are a whole lot of other people you would think would be better candidates for God's next new move means you can't just keep business as usual going up. You sitting here at the end of this year talking about, I can't wait to see what God does for me in 2020, but you got to make a commitment to not stay in the space of business as usual. You got to make up in your mind that if God is going to be up to something new, I might as well catch up and do something new in my own life, that I must let this year go, fade, collapse, be gone, and begin to move in a different direction. But you can't move in a different direction with the old sensibilities. You got to make up in your spirit that this year will find new things happening for me, because I'm going to make a declaration and a commitment to myself that I'm going to make sure I honor what God is seeking to do in my life by seeking to experience my own transformation. They go down to the barnyard, and I got 12 minutes left. They go down to the barnyard, and who's in the manger? Joseph, Mary, and the little baby. He ain't been named yet. This is deep. Circumcision nor naming has taken place. He's just a baby with no name yet. Yeah. The child with no name who's going to change the entire world. Yeah. The shepherds come into the space, and the shepherds tell Joseph, Mary, and, and the little babies, they're wrapped, and they tell all that they heard the angels, the messengers of God say to them. They share it. And something, Minister Heaven, that hit me, that when I read it, you know, I've been preaching for a pretty long time. Actually, March of this, of 2020, will be 30 years since I preached my first sermon, right? So I read this scripture, Pastor Trey, tons of times, but there's something that blew my mind, Toma. It said when the shepherds shared this story, watch this. It said, and all who heard were amazed. Wait a minute. They ain't but Joseph, Mary, a few animals, and this baby with no name. But the scripture says, and all who heard were amazed. Now, all don't have names, but let me tell you what I realized. It tells you that Mary, Joseph are the only ones who there was no room for, possibly who had to find a place in the barnyard. Can you imagine the fellowship amongst the filth? Can you imagine the people who came together in that manger that night, having no idea that just because there wasn't room doesn't mean something significant wasn't going to happen? Oh my gosh, you started thinking or feeling, maybe you were one of those persons in there trying to get a place to sleep because you felt rejection. Didn't realize that the rejection you felt put you in a position to hear what you thought you would never ever hear in your life. That God was up to, hold on, you mean that even possibly feelings and opportunities and, well, no, times of rejection can be an opportunity to be let in on something God is doing because you're in a position to hear where you weren't in a better position to hear because you were being accepted or trying to be accepted in spaces that didn't want you in the first place. And so you had to go to other places and you thought that you were in these places relegated because of rejection, didn't know that God needed to get you away from the busyness and sometimes the hectic nature of what you've been doing to speak a new word into your life so you could hear something, see something you never saw before. Ain't that deep? Here you are. You spent all year trying to fit into places that you thought you would gain value and significance only to find out it's in your rejection was the breakthrough. Oh my God. That in the rejection was the opportunity to hear what God was going to do in your life. It said everybody was blown away that this little no-name child somehow would be the one who would be the transformer of all they had hoped for and believed would come their way. And they were all amazed. What would you do if you were in there that day and heard these shepherds come with this angelic message of the significance of the baby who was lying in a cow trough? How would you have responded to know that God was doing something profound in the place you were relegated to because you felt rejected? What would you do if you heard that message? Well, it said everyone was amazed, but here's where I really wanted to get to. Everyone was amazed. Everyone was blown away except one person, Mary. It said she treasured all that she heard and pondered it in her heart. Oh. If you read Luke's gospel, I have to do a little teaching for the folk who don't get the TNT, but who will be there in 2020. There's something called Mary's Magnificat in Luke, where Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth and she finds out that Elizabeth is with child now, who's about 6 months pregnant. And then it says Mary begins to sing this song. Well, when you go to biblical scholars, they say it's not clear here if it's Mary or Elizabeth singing. When you look at the passage, it would signify that actually Elizabeth may be the one who's singing because Mary responds to the song after this song. Mary responds to her cousin, Elizabeth, after she sings a song. Why is that significant? Because if you know the story, especially as Luke records it, an angel of the Lord appeared to who? Appeared to Mary, appeared to Elizabeth, appeared to shepherds. But here's a deep thing. Mary's conversation was only with the angel Gabriel, who told her what would happen. She shares the story with nobody. Watch this. When she goes to Cousin Elizabeth's house, she doesn't tell her. She walks in the door, and the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps. And Elizabeth celebrates because Elizabeth senses what that moving womb signifies. But Mary says nothing. When they journey down to Bethlehem because of the census, there's no conversation as recorded between Joseph and Mary. And you have to assume, because she's a Jewish woman that moment, that when they went to the inn, she didn't do any talking, that her husband Joseph did the talking. When you get into the manger, the shepherds come and it says all were amazed, but the shepherds speak, but Mary doesn't speak. In fact, the deep thing is that throughout this narrative, Mary is silent in many ways. She's silent after having heard who she would give birth to and who he would be. And in the manger after the birth, she gets confirmation of what she heard before from the angel, from people she don't even know. Oh, you're going to get this. The shepherds bring confirmation of a word she got from Gabriel about the child she would birth. And it said, and Mary treasured everything and pondered them in her heart. Can you imagine? You receive a word from God that actually gets confirmation in real time. And she held on to it. You're going to hear this. She didn't say, ah, that's just what God told me. She held it. Yes, now I feel that what I heard before was true. She held it. There was no announcement from Mary that, oh, by the way, God's angel already told me all of this. This is nothing new. She held it. That God's new move that would work through her, she don't even talk about it. She just executes her role. She plays her position because she realized what is about to happen is bigger than her. Oh, you'll get this in a second. How many of us could have held our peace after getting divine confirmation? How many of us would have been silent and not told somebody, especially when we got confirmation of something that God spoke? She kept it to herself. And it makes you wonder, what was more important, seeing it or talking about it? Experiencing it or sharing it? Now, the reason why this might not seem like a major scene, but it's important because in this age of sensationalism and overexposure and everybody telling everybody else's business and everybody sharing everything about what goes on in life, Mary said nothing. She held it in her heart. It was more important to know than to tell. Oh, gosh, y'all missed that part. There will be a time and have been moments in your life where your satisfaction comes from knowing that what God has spoken is true. It is for you and no one else. It is the word that God has spoken into your life about who you would be and who you are. And God spoke it to you, and it is for you. And you now must walk in it, live in it, execute it, play your position. But you don't have to announce it. I know it's hard because we oftentimes engage in conversations seeking validation from people on what we hold or harbor in our hearts. But look how God works. God sends validation to Mary without Mary seeking it. And Mary says nothing. She treasured it, pondered it, and just kept on being the mother she was called to be. Oh man, you got to hear that. I know this don't seem profound for a whole lot of folk, but as you end 2019 and begin this new year of 2020, God may be using this season as a time to begin something new in your life. And what is important in this moment is for you to honor the call and the assignment that God has placed in you and to play your position. Why is that important? I've seen many many people get misaligned trying to do more than they were called to do. I've seen many people miss out on moments of profound impact and transformation because they were busy trying to do other things than what they were told, called, and honored to do. Crossing lanes, switching lanes, trying to do everybody else's stuff instead of honoring what God has called you to do and the place you're in. You want profound impact? Honor what God has spoken into your life. You want to be part of transformation that takes place? Honor what God has spoken into your life. And if nobody acknowledges you, fine. If nobody sees you, fine. Because you don't have to get the honor and validation from people. You can be in a place unnoticed, overlooked, in the backyard, in the manger, among the filth, among the animals. But guess what? When God speaks, God's word transcends any situation you can find yourself in. And your position is to hold it to your heart. I've had moments in my life where I've had to quietly walk down the street when I saw a sign that God had spoken something that got confirmation. I just said, God, thank you. I learned on this last sabbatical that before every profound action, I might have shared this last week, before every profound action is a time of stillness. And before every profound word spoken is a time of silence. We have to assault the cultural tendency to be noisy and busy right now. And learn to be still and quiet. And accept and see and hear. There is more to be heard than you think. But it's hard to hear when there's so much audible clutter in our lives. There is so much that is even being required of you in this season, but we shrouded our lives with so many things to distract and deflect. Right now, God is speaking. And you hear. And what will you do? Will you play your position? Will you honor what God is saying? And watch what God's new move will be in your life. Maybe this year, as it approaches, God is saying, pull back. Get off the main road. Spend some time with me. And let me pour into your soul. Take time with me. We make time for everything else we see significant, but we don't always make time for our own self-care. Well, I want to change that language. I think I told one of the pastors, I said, I'm not going to talk about self-care anymore because self-care has become commodified. Now when you hear self-care, now we equate it with pampering. I'm going to the spa. I'm going to get a massage. I'm going to go get these essential oils. No, it's different. When your life is on the line, it ain't self-care. It's self-preservation. And maybe this season is about self-preservation for you. To silently enjoy God pouring into your soul. To quietly enjoy God speaking into your life and feel it. I've learned more in the past 50 days being quiet than I ever have opening my mouth. And it's always been there. We don't always take time. I found myself in the past several weeks just being still on the train, on the plane, quieting myself, closing my eyes, meditating, and just saying, God, I'm here. Yes. Not do anything, God, I'm here, present and accounted for. Yes. And whatever you need to pour into my life now, I don't want the relationship I have with God to be a crisis relationship. Yes. That every time I'm going through something, I'm calling on God. Every time things are going bad, I'm calling on God. No, I want to fully commit to my self-preservation. I want to do the things in this year that will enhance my life, not diminish my life. I want to engage in the kind of work that makes me a wiser and better and stronger person, not just a more visible person. Because again, every now and again, you got to pull back from the main road and spend some time. The old folks say every now and again, you got to steal away. And that song, again, my grandmother, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry. Answer by and by. But you got to be willing to steal away, get off the beaten path, unplug, disconnect. Stop being so available for everybody. Somebody the other day said, you know, I called you. I said, and? Because you call me, I'm under no obligation to answer the phone. I was busy. Person said, doing what? I said, minding my business. Because the phones give the illusion that you're always accessible. No, I don't want to be that accessible to everybody and then turn down accessibility to God. I answer, you answer every text, every call, every DM, every message, but don't make time for a sacred conversation. Maybe Mary teaches another way. Treasure what you hear. Let it settle in your heart. Play your position. Don't get mad if folk reject you. They may have been part of a program bigger than them and you and didn't even realize it. If you're going to go into this new year, go into it with a commitment to engage in the work to preserve your soul and your spirit. Stop being so angry. Stop being so anxious. Honor the sacred space God has given you. Amen. There will be numerous opportunities in 2020 to get caught up in the rigors of life. Make sure that you take time to hear what God is saying to you. That's what you call preservation. Maybe somebody here today needed to hear this message on the last Sunday of the year so that you don't begin the new year the same way you ended it. Moving to someone else's drumbeat. Always at someone else's disposal. Maybe this season and this time you need to hear, steal away. Get away. Spend some time with yourself and spend some time with God. Because coming to church is one thing, but the real issue is how willing are you to invest in your own spiritual growth and development? What good is it to wear shirts that say be human when you're not even being still? Maybe that is what God is speaking into you this season. Because before you know it, it may be over. I know we hear it has become cliche, but life truly is short. And I don't want to live every minute being anxious. Like Mary, I want to be in a space where I can be validated by God and just hold it in my heart and quietly, in my own way, in my own space, in my own time, say, God, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the FCBC NYC podcast. We hope that what you heard was informative and inspiring and in some way created a space for you to have a creative encounter with God. You can follow us on social media and on the internet at fcbcnyc.org. Please follow and also contribute. If you've been blessed by what you heard, support us financially that we may continue to offer these podcasts. Thank you again, and we look forward to you tuning back in the future.